I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Yesterday morning, I was reading and my heart was on back to a passage of Scripture that I've spoken on many times here. But as I began to look at this passage of Scripture, I was convinced I've got to preach on this passage of Scripture today. I've got to. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. Paul and Silas find themselves in jail in Philippi. An earthquake is sent. All the doors are open. A Philippian jailer sees all the doors are open. Being fearful, he's about to fall on his sword, kill himself. And the Apostle Paul cries out to him, said, Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. He gets a light, jailer does, comes in trembling, and he comes before Paul and Silas. In verse 30 and 31, this is what happens. Acts 16, 30, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now, if there was ever a need of a hell-deserving sinner to be given understanding by the inspiration of God as to the true meaning, and that's what God calls preachers to do. To give the sense of the passage. Set forth the truth of what's being said. And if there's ever been a need for us to understand what was asked by this jailer and said by Paul and Silas, this is it right here. Now, the first thing I want to set forth before I begin to the body of this message, turn to Titus 3:5. I want to set forth something that is absolutely true and must be said again. Paul the Apostle said, "For me to say the same thing to you is not grievous. For you it's safe for us to hear the same thing over and over and over." We're so prone. Titus 3:5. Let me tell you what Scripture says. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Romans 3 and verse 20 says this, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." So, let me tell you, first and foremost, it is absolutely impossible. Not improbable, it's impossible for carnal man born in Adam, everybody in this room, everybody in this world, it's impossible for any man by his own free will or work to do anything in order to accomplish his salvation by his own works. not by the works, not by the good deeds, not by the noble actions of the law, shall any soul be saved. Salvation, we know this, is totally an act of God Almighty that has been bestowed upon a people of His choosing, according to His good pleasure to show mercy. That's how men are saved. Jonah 2:9 says, salvation is of the Lord. What does man have to do with his salvation? Nothing. Nothing. The Lord told Moses in Exodus 33:19, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. So any thought of carnal man thinking that he's able to accomplish by some act of his supposed obedience unto God in order to merit or procure his salvation is wrong. Wrong. It's anti-scripture. It's anti-Christ. It's anti-truth. Anything that we think that we did in order to procure salvation is wrong. The scripture bears that out. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Now, we've got that truth nailed down. So with that thought, we're going to come back to this question that was asked by a Philippian jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the apostle Paul and Silas gave him an answer. They answered him. They gave him an answer that was inspired by the Spirit of God. This is the truth. What must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, Paul and Silas were not speaking out of both sides of their mouth. Now, you know that. Problem is that we think that this right here, somehow, I know what's going through your mind. Somehow. And you're sitting there thinking, okay, now I want to make sure I hear what's being said. I do too. Because there's something in our minds as being born in Adam that hears this. We saw what Titus 3:5 said. We read what Romans 3:20 said, and we hear what's being asked and said right here, and you think it's something needs to be explained. Because there seems to be a contradiction somehow here. I don't know exactly what it is, but there's something that's contradictory here, and it's concerning salvation and Paul's answer. And man's total depravity and inability to do anything. So what was the Philippian jailer asking? And what was the Apostle Paul and Silas saying that is needful for us now to understand? I want to understand this. Because they ask a question that is concerning me and you. You ask yourself, what must I do to be saved? To be preserved. To keep safe. To be rescued from danger or destruction. And then there's a word that's in there, means transported. What must I do? Now let me tell you what the Philippian jailer did not ask him, and what we think when we hear the word saved, what we think he asked. Let me tell you what you think he asked. He did not say, what must I do to be regenerated? It's not the word he used. What must I do to be converted? That's what is normally set forth as being said. That's not what he asked. That's what we hear. That's what we think, because that's what we're normally told. That's what I was told. That's what I came up in religion. That's what I was told. I was told that that scripture right there was saying, what must I do to be regenerated? Now, if he were to ask, what must I do to be regenerated? And Paul would have said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be regenerated. That's salvation by works. There ain't no way around that. What must I do to be converted? Well, to be converted and to be made new, you have to believe. That's works. That is salvation by works. That's not the word that the Spirit of God moved upon that Philippian jailer to say. He said, what must I do to be saved? Now, there's three things that set forth in this scripture concerning believing, salvation. And Almighty God has moved upon this group of men right here to set forth the truth of the absolute salvation of God's elect. It's not going to be by the works of the flesh that we're going to be converted. If he'd have said that, that would have been that he's resting in his belief. He's resting in his faith. Now, here's the first thing we've got to understand. There is an understanding and a clear conviction to a regenerated sinner wrought by the Spirit of God. There's an understanding that wasn't there before he was regenerated. What did I just say? I'm going to tell you right now that before anybody would ever ask that question right there, what must I do to be saved? God's going to have to do something for him first before he'll ever ask that question. He wasn't asking, what must I do to be regenerated? Turn with me to John chapter 3. Now, we're going to turn to a few passages, but I want us to understand something, because I'm telling you that by and large, the vast majority of people that are resting in their decision, the exercise of their will, their feeling that I've done something in order to be, what they're saying is regeneration. He didn't ask that. I'm going to show you something. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. John 1 through 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, cannot see, perceive the kingdom of God. Unless Almighty God does something for a sinner first, there is no vision, there is no desire, there's no asking after the kingdom of God. A sinner must be regenerated first. All men are born with a dead, dark, hard heart of stone, which will never believe, which will never bow, which will never ask after the things of God. The Lord Jesus Christ just said that. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Lord must come to a vessel of his mercy and initiate the need in that sinner. John 3, 5 to 6, right there where we are. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 to 24. Ephesians 4. If so be that you've heard him, that had been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, there has got to be, before anyone, this Philippian jailer came in there and he was trembling and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas answered him, "Believe. What must I be to be kept and transported and saved? What must I do? Believe. You got to believe the truth." But something's got to happen first. You're going to believe. Saul of Tarsus, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9. When Saul of Tarsus, spiritually dead rebel, dead in trespasses and sin, dead. He was dead. He was stopped on the road to Damascus. The scripture says this concerning his encounter, Lord's encounter. Let me say that of him. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said to him, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Now let me tell you what happened here. Here was a spiritually dead sinner, religious. He was a Pharisee, trusting in his works. Read him over in Philippians 3. He'll tell you how good he was, how good he thought he was. And here's a spiritually dead sinner breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And Almighty God stopped him. Leave that Saul of Tarsus to himself and to tell him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'd laugh at you. He was threatening. He was going to get him. And God stopped him and did something for him. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. What's going to have to happen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Before anybody will come and ask, "What must I do to be saved?" I'm going to get to point two in just a minute. But before anybody will ask that question, God's going to have to do something. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now right here, you're going to see, we all see, the rich display of sovereign grace to produce light in the very darkness of a hell-deserving sinner. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and man's need of him must be commanded of God first. God Almighty must shine into a sinner according to these scriptures before that sinner can believe. He's dead. You tell a spiritually dead, you tell a dead man. How many times have I said this? I've preached so many funerals here, stood in this pulpit, and there's a casket right there. Dead, dead. He don't hear, he don't move, he don't think, he don't speak, he don't do nothing. He don't do nothing. And I tell him, all you've got to do in order to get out of that casket is just believe. He's dead. What's got to happen first? God's got to do something. That Philippian jailer, a hard rebel, knowledge of his sin was brought to light. God Almighty did something, and he knew now. He knew before he didn't. We're looking at the effect of it. I can tell you, according to the scriptures, something happened to that Philippian jailer first. That wouldn't have done anything for him. How many miracles have we seen? How many miracles were recorded? How many people did the Lord Jesus Christ heal? How many did he raise from the dead? Did that make any difference? Almighty God's got to do something first. Before the Spirit of God, turn with me to John 16. John chapter 16. John 16, verse 7 and 8. The Lord is speaking to his disciples. He's getting ready to go to the cross, back into glory. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, he will reprove. He's going to convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now let me tell you what the Lord just said. Before anybody can believe, the Spirit of God is going to have to empower in regenerating grace, mercy. He's going to have to convince a man of sin. What does that mean? That's what we are. Convince him of sin. And of righteousness. What do you mean? That righteousness before God is what we lack. And is only provided by and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to convince him of sin. Now, I'm telling you, a regenerated sinner knows that he is a helpless sinner before God and that his righteousness is as filthy rags. He's going to convince him of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. What does that mean? He's going to convince him that judgment is what we deserve. But we're satisfied for a people of God's choosing by the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore the guilt of all of his people. I laid down my life for the sheep, paid their debt. When the Spirit of God comes to convince a sinner of sin and righteousness and judgment, he comes to that sinner first and removes that heart of stone first and gives him a new heart and speaks to that heart. Turn to 2 Timothy 1. He speaks to that heart now that hears. The hearing ear and the seeing eyes of the Lord, both of them of the Lord. We talk to people like knowing the scripture says we're dead in trespasses and sins, and men will stand up and talk to people like they can hear, like dead men can hear. Now, all you got to do now is just exercise your free will. They're lying to you. They're lying to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy 1 verse 8, God Almighty has got to show mercy first. 2 Timothy 1, 8, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now it's plain from Scripture. Unless you be born again, you're not going to perceive the kingdom of God. You're not going to perceive your need. You're not going to perceive the sacrifice of Christ. You're not going to know anything about it. You must be born again first by the Spirit of God. God's got to do something for you first before you can respond. The question that was asked by the Philippian jailer was the result of God's grace, which brings me to my second point. Second and third points are not as long. The needy sinner is taught through regenerating grace that he's been given faith to believe, and that his salvation is totally found in the person of God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Acts, we can go back to Acts. Go back to Acts chapter 16. He's taught something. He asked, what must I do to be kept, preserved, transported into glory? What must I do? What must I do to be saved? Not regenerated. The word. Don't get that word. Quit thinking that he was asking, what must I do to be regenerated? You must be born of the Spirit. Regeneration is of God. You don't do something to be regenerated. What did you do to be conceived in your mother's womb? What did you do about it? What did you do? He said, well, I didn't do anything. Okay, thank you. What did you do to be conceived of the Holy Spirit? You didn't do anything. We're born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit. He asked them, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe by faith. Believing by God-giving faith. Trusting is totally of the Lord. It says concerning faith in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let me tell you what else people's being told. All you got to do is exercise your faith. Where does a man get faith? Where do you get it? Well, everybody's got a little faith. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture doesn't say everybody has faith. I want you to turn to Philippians. I've got it written down here in my notes, but I want you to look at it. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Now listen, faith is essential to life, salvation, faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, how does a man get it? How does a man get faith? Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That which Almighty God has purposed in eternity. Now you know Ephesians 1:4 says that God has chosen a people before the foundation of the world in Christ, that they should be holy and without blame before him in love. God's got a people. Now, you know that. I mean, Scripture bears that out. God's got a people. He's got an elect. what Paul says in Romans 9. Isaiah, if there wasn't a remnant according to the election of God, we'd all be like Sodom and Gomorrah. There is an elect that God's going to save. And they must believe. God has ordained. They must believe. They must believe by faith. That's God's word. That's God's will. That's God's purpose. That which Almighty God has purposed from eternity, He will most certainly accomplish and supply in time. The Lord ordained that believing and trusting in His Son, casting by faith all of our hope for life, godliness, salvation before Him was demanded. That's demanded. They must. Without faith, there's no pleasing God. How am I going to please God? By faith. God's going to have to give me faith. He said it's given unto you. To believe. You've got to believe. Faith to believe Him. Faith to trust Him. Faith to suffer for His sake. Faith that is from above. The faith of God's elect. It has one object. And it's not your works. Now I'm telling you, this is the biggest lie that's ever been told out of hell. Does a man that has trusted in his works look to? He looks to his works. That's what he looks to. And he boasts in them too. He boasts in them. I walk down the aisle, you know, all the stuff. Just name it all. Just everything. I spoke in tongues. I got baptized. That's what you're looking to. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. So I can tell you this. What must I do to be delivered, kept, preserved? What must I do to be saved? That was the question he asked. Paul told him, he said, well, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord told us this. Before you're going to believe, God's going to have to regenerate you. God's going to have to give you faith. And here's the last point. This last truth set forth concerning a sinner's salvation is the assurance of life. Now here's what Paul said. When that Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If Almighty God gives you faith to believe, not in yourself, but faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Believing, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1. Coming to Christ and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is not, 2 Timothy 1, is not a doubtful truth to the regenerate. 2 Timothy 1:12 says this. For which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Spiritual knowledge. I'm going to read this from Romans 10. Spiritual knowledge of Christ is essential to faith. Spiritual knowledge of Christ is essential. Faith. God's going to give it faith. Listen to Romans 10:13-14. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, that's a fact. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Let me tell you something. Before God Almighty saves any of His people. Now, this is the Lord's way. He's going to send a preacher, and He's going to teach a preacher. He's going to save a preacher first. For a preacher to preach the truth, God's got to save him first. He's going to teach that preacher the truth of God's sovereign grace of how God Almighty has been pleased to regenerate and save his people, keep them. And he's going to teach that preacher the gospel, which is what we've just heard. And he's going to preach it. And the Spirit of God, who knows the elect of God, is going to take that word, the preaching of the gospel, that's the power of God unto salvation, and he's going to come to the elect of God, and he's going to remove a heart of stone. He's going to give them a new heart, and he's going to convince them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. They're going to say, what must I do to be saved? Believe. And they're going to believe with the faith that God's given them. They're going to rest in it. They're going to believe that. I'm not going to trust my works. I don't trust my works. Listen, y'all, I came down the aisle 3 or 4 times. I had to rededicate a couple of times because I slipped in there. Then I didn't know if I was really sincere, so I got in the water 3 times. I think two or three times. I don't remember. Trying to find some assurance. And for God Almighty was pleased. He crossed my path with a faithful preacher. It told me the truth. That truth jerked the rug out of everything I'd ever been taught and believed, which was a lie. I said, well, I was converted back, you know, I was 9 years old. I was converted then. I was, you know, and I wasn't sure, so I went ahead and went through it again at 17. You know, because I'd been kind of bad. So I thought I had to go through that again. All the while trusting in my choice, trusting in my decision, trusting in that. And one day God Almighty was pleased to regenerate me by the grace of God and teach me the truth of salvation in Christ. Gave me some assurance. Salvation's of the Lord. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. What do you mean by that? You mean everybody that in the house? No. But if he saves the people in your house, he's going to save them the same way. For God's glory and for the eternal good of his people. Amen. All right, let's take a break.